turned towards him. End of quotation. Baha'u'llah did indeed testify of Christ. He glorified Jesus in a way that no one had done before or since. Is it any wonder that Baha'u'llah should say to the Christians, read ye the Evangel, the Gospel, and yet refuse to acknowledge the All-Glorious? Those are Baha'u'llah's words. Those who are spiritually blind in this day and prevent others from accepting the truth of Baha'u'llah's coming are like those blind leaders of the blind mentioned by Christ. Christ said, when the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. Don't let it happen to you. Baha'u'llah is still calling out to the Christians. He says, and these are his words,
verily he, Jesus, said, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. In this day, however, we say, come ye after me, that we may make you to become quickeners of mankind.
Open the doors of your hearts, Baha'u'llah writes to the Christians of the world. For he who was the Spirit, Jesus, verily standeth before them. We in truth have opened unto you the gates of the kingdom. Will ye bar the doors of your houses in my face? When Baha'u'llah reached the Holy Land, a prisoner and an exile, he referred to Bethlehem, the birthplace of Christ. There was he, Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, the return of Christ, standing in the Holy Land, the place prophesied for him in the last days, on the mountain of God. He had fulfilled all of the prophecies. The glory of God had come from the east by way of the gate. Yet the people sought only his destruction, as they had sought that of Jesus before him. Baha'u'llah, as quoted in the book, The Promised Day Is Come, cried out,
O Bethlehem, this light hath risen in the Orient, the East, and traveled toward the Occident, the West, until it reached thee in the evening of its life. Tell me then, do the sons recognize the Father, Baha'u'llah, and acknowledge him, or do they deny him, even as the people aforetime denied him, Jesus, the Son?
What a beautiful, tender, sad, sweet story. It is tragic, but it is full of power and majesty. Baha'u'llah has gone on from victory to victory. Those who opposed him have gone from defeat to defeat. His faith has circled the entire planet. Doesn't it make you eager to rush out into the pioneering field and to teach and to tell everybody the glad tidings? Perhaps in the light of these wonderful prophecies and their fulfillment, many of those of you who have followed this study class, those of you who are not yet Baha'is, perhaps now already in your hearts, you are Baha'is. Good. Perhaps you too now realize that Baha'u'llah is the promised one, the return of Christ. Then you are ready to become Baha'is. We welcome you into this wonderful worldwide family.
I'm sorry, Bill, but that's all the time we have left for today.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry too, because I was just about to tell the story of the most amazing and exciting prophecies about Baha'u'llah that can be found in any of the sacred scriptures. And it's all in one book of the Old Testament, the book of Micah. I call him the amazing Micah. So will you when you hear what Micah had to say about Baha'u'llah. If we heard nothing more than this one prophecy, we would be convinced that Baha'u'llah was indeed the promised one of the last days, the Messiah, the Christ returned. So let's save that dramatic story for tomorrow. Have a good time talking over today's prophecies, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow you'd like to bring some more of your friends to hear the wondrous story. They'll never hear another like it as long as they live. We need them, and they need us. We all need Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i faith, for it is the hope of the world. Until tomorrow then, goodbye. Remember us in your prayers tonight.
It is now time to begin our third day together. We will hear more wonderful prophecies fulfilled by Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, the founder of the Baha'i faith. Today we promise to tell you about the amazing Micah, so let us begin.
I devoted an entire chapter to Micah in one of my books. I called him the amazing Micah. But this one prophecy that we're going to talk to you about today, this one alone, is more than enough to inspire every sincere seeker to want to know more about Baha'u'llah and to rise up and serve this wonderful Redeemer of mankind. Listen, and you will see how the Old Testament prophet Micah foretells Baha'u'llah's coming so accurately.
Micah describes almost every step along the path which Baha'u'llah took when he was driven by the kings of Persia and Turkey from his homeland in Persia to Israel, the Holy Land. Micah also tells us exactly how many years Baha'u'llah would tell the people of the world about his message. Imagine that.
Imagine that. If you were to go to the automobile club and ask for a road map so you could drive from Los Angeles to Chicago, say, you would not receive clearer instructions than those which Micah gave to the world and to us, so that we might recognize Baha'u'llah when he came and accept his message and become one of his followers. Now, let's see exactly what the Bible says in that single remarkable chapter of Micah. You can read along, if you wish, from your own Bible. This is the King James Version, that Marguerite, Mrs. Sears, and I are using. This is the 7th chapter of Micah. Marguerite, would you read that for us, please?
With pleasure. Chapter 7, verse 12 through 15. In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things.
And that's the end of the quotation, thank you. It's a little long that way, so now let's take that chapter and these verses in the light of Baha'u'llah's coming. And then you will begin to see why people everywhere are so eager to become Baha'is. Why they want to be part of this world-redeeming, exciting faith. Why they are entering the Baha'i faith by the thousands these days, as they are everywhere. And imagine this, you future warriors of Baha'u'llah. Micah, in one single chapter, mind you, gives an astonishing answer to those who ridiculed him, Micah, in his day, for saying all of these things. They laughed at him, you know, at Micah, and they jeered at him, and they said, "Where is the Lord thy God?" And this is what Micah said to those who mocked him.
In that day, meaning the last days, in that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria.
And that is exactly where Baha'u'llah came from. Baha'u'llah came from Persia. Part of the land now known as Persia was once in the geographic area of the ancient Assyrian kingdom. Micah tells us,
in that day also he shall come even to thee from the fortified cities.
Baha'u'llah did. He came in exactly that way. Baha'u'llah was exiled to the fortified city of Constantinople, and finally they sent him to the fortified city of Acre. This was a dreaded Turkish fortress of Acre. The kings thought surely that Baha'u'llah would die there and would be heard of no more, and that it would be the end of his religion forever. But God had other plans. These pitiful kings did not even realize that they were fulfilling the prophecies from the Old Testament, the New Testament, from the Quran, the Holy Book of the Muslims, and from all the holy books. They drove Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, to Israel, the Holy Land. They hoped to end his faith. All they really did was fulfill prophecy after prophecy. They made Baha'u'llah's faith stronger and stronger. The more they did to end the Baha'i faith, the more they fulfilled the prophecies. In that same chapter, mind you, Micah says,
in that day also he shall come even to thee from the fortress even to the river.
Baha'u'llah did just that too. Can you believe it? Baha'u'llah was finally delivered by the hand of God. He was free from the mighty fortress prison of Acre in which they had shut him up. When Baha'u'llah left the fortress prison of Acre, he went outside the city to a garden now called the Garden of Rizwan. It was a garden that was surrounded by the waters of the ancient river Belus, a river now called in Israel Naaman. So we see Baha'u'llah came from the fortress to the river, exactly as Micah foretold. And Micah didn't stop his prophecies there. No, he went still on with more. Micah is still speaking of the promised one.
In that day he shall come even to thee from sea to sea.
Did Baha'u'llah do that? He certainly did. Baha'u'llah was driven from sea to sea on his way to Israel. Baha'u'llah sailed on the Black Sea along the northern coast of Turkey on his exile to Constantinople. He crossed the Mediterranean Sea on his last exile to the Holy Land. Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, came to the very land to which the prophecies of old said the glory of God would come from the east. And there was Baha'u'llah at last in the Holy Land. He was driven there by his enemies, who, without knowing it, helped him, Baha'u'llah, to fulfill all these marvelous prophecies. It's almost too much, isn't it? What tremendous proofs from the holy books Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i faith have brought us. No wonder the Baha'is are so enthusiastic and eager to tell this story. You can see why. The prophecies of Micah are still not finished, though. There's still more. And from that same single seventh chapter of Micah, imagine it. Micah says,
in that day also he shall come even to thee from mountain to mountain.
Ask yourself, did Baha'u'llah do that too? Well, you can just bet he did. Exactly that. Just as His Holiness Christ withdrew into the desert before his mission began, so Baha'u'llah too withdrew. He went into the mountains of Kurdistan near Sulaymaniyya in Iraq. On Mount Sargalu in Iraq, Baha'u'llah revealed wonderful words and wonderful teachings.
Baha'u'llah came in exile from Mount Sargalu in Iraq to Mount Carmel in the Holy Land, from mountain to mountain, exactly as Micah had prophesied.
Baha'u'llah stood on the side of Mount Carmel, and he announced that the promises had been fulfilled. The promised one, so long hidden from the mortal eyes of the world, had now appeared, he said. There was no longer any excuse, Baha'u'llah's teachings declared, for mankind not to recognize the truth and to serve it. What a unique story. In the very next verse, still from that same chapter, Micah tells us another wonderful thing. He prophesies exactly how long God will have his messenger, his promised one, feed his flock in those last days. That seems almost incredible, doesn't it? But it's true. These are Micah's words. Micah says that God will show unto him, meaning the Redeemer, marvelous things. And how long will God do that? Micah tells us it will be for 40 years. Listen.
Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwells solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel, as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things.
For 40 years, Micah says. This is the length of the time the Jews spent coming out of the land of Egypt. 40 years. Baha'u'llah's mission on earth lasted exactly that length of time. 40 years. Isn't it marvelous? What amazing prophecies. What astonishing fulfillment. In the same chapter 14 of the book of Numbers, which tells how the Jews will wander in the wilderness for 40 years, it is also written that,
as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Imagine that. In that day, the earth would be filled with the glory of the Lord. And that is what Baha'u'llah's name means, isn't it? The glory of the Lord. It was to him, Baha'u'llah, the glory of the Lord, that Micah said God would show wonderful things for 40 years. And he did. Baha'u'llah wrote over 100 volumes dealing with all the needs of mankind in a ministry lasting 40 years. And just so you can be absolutely sure that it is about Baha'u'llah and the Baha'i faith which this prophecy in the book of Numbers is referring, let us hear the words of the highly respected Jewish author and writer Maimonides, cited on page 75 of Messianic Speculation in Israel by A. H. Silver. Maimonides says, and we're quoting now,
the exact time for the coming of the Messiah is not known for a certainty, but there exists among us a great and wonderful tradition.
Did you hear that?
A great and wonderful tradition which I received from my father, and he in turn from his father and his grandfather, who likewise received it, and so through a continuous chain to the beginning of the exile from Jerusalem, that in Balaam's statement, number 23:23, where it is said of Jacob and Israel, "What hath God wrought?" is found the key to the mystery.
In those words, "What hath God wrought?" Maimonides said, would be found the key to the mystery from that same book of Numbers. Prophecy at that time, Maimonides continues, will return to Israel, and the prophets will say, "Behold what God hath wrought." Now, on May 24, 1844, Samuel Morse sent his first telegraph message flashing from Washington to Baltimore. The message was a quote from that book of Numbers. What quote? The exact same one mentioned by Maimonides, Numbers 23:23. "What hath God wrought?"
The very day before, May 23, 1844, the Baha'i faith began in Persia. What a dramatic story!
During the 40 years of his mission, Baha'u'llah, as we said earlier, wrote over 100 volumes. He addressed letters and messages to the kings and rulers of the world, to the leaders of mankind, to the heads of great religions, to the peoples of these religions, and to the peoples of the world, to scholars, philosophers, students, to leaders in the intellectual, political, literary, mystical, commercial, humanitarian spheres of human activity. No one was left out. No one. Well, you tell me, was that feeding his flock or not? For 40 years, exactly, God showed to Baha'u'llah wonderful things. Baha'u'llah shared these wonderful things, these teachings, with all mankind. And that's why we're here today as followers of this promised one, Baha'u'llah, the glory of God.
Isn't it long past time that everybody on earth heard this story?
Long past. And there's more. Hey, believe it or not, there's still more. And it's still the same Micah talking. Micah prophesies of Baha'u'llah's coming in still another chapter. Micah promises in chapter 4, verse 1, that in the last days the house of the Lord will be established in the mountain. He says,
"In the last days the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and people shall flow unto it."
Baha'u'llah's world center is established there on the side of the mountain of God. The supreme body which now directs the affairs of Baha'u'llah's faith in over 300 countries, territories, and islands of the seas, and probably even more now while we're talking with each other, so rapidly is this faith growing, is known by that name, House. It is called the Universal House of Justice of Baha'u'llah. Another prophet, Habakkuk, said, prophecy,
chapter 2, verse 14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea."
That's what Baha'u'llah's name means, the glory of the Lord. His teachings are already covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thousands are entering beneath Baha'u'llah's banner in every part of the planet these days. "Many nations will flow unto this house of the Lord," said Micah, "and the law shall go forth from that mountain. The nations will come and say, 'Let us go up to the house of the Lord,' and then God will teach us his ways." Are you listening?
Of course, we should understand that the prophecy about the house of the Lord was fulfilled with the coming of Baha'u'llah. The house of the Lord was established as soon as Baha'u'llah appeared on that mountain. That is the fulfillment of the prophecy.
But that was only the beginning of the fulfillment. How much greater the fulfillment becomes when we see that Baha'u'llah himself, on the side of that mountain, called for a supreme, democratically elected administrative body to rule the affairs of the world. Baha'u'llah gave to the body its title, the Universal House of Justice. Baha'u'llah made it for all time a holy house, divinely guided and protected.
When you share all of these prophecies with your neighbors and friends, many of them will be eager to enter the faith. They will come in great numbers, be sure. How can they help it? It is such a beautiful story.
So don't waste another hour, another minute. Tell everyone. The prophet Isaiah also spoke about this house of the Lord on the mountain of God in the Holy Land. Isaiah, like Baha'u'llah, associated that house with the word justice. We find this in the second and ninth chapters of Isaiah. This is the same Isaiah who said that Mount Carmel would see the glory of the Lord. That's Baha'u'llah's name, isn't it?